all the time. So my pastor down in Kansas City would say, if that doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. So it's great to be here this morning. It's good to be back. We had a great trip, going down to some conferences and that sort of thing. before I get started, though, there was one announcement that didn't get to be announced, and actually two announcements. One is Craig and Mandy. They're here with us and visit us quite often, and they've recently been engaged, so I want to congratulate them. When did that happen, Craig?
Last Friday night.
Last Friday night. Awesome. Congratulations. That's a wonderful thing. And then Jeff and Jennifer has also been visiting us and been coming quite faithfully every week for a couple months or so. And they've recently, as of this week, right, or last week, accepted a position down in New Mexico. So they're going to be moving down there and working down there. So definitely want to pray for them and pray that God would be working in their midst, even down in Mexico, New Mexico, in the heat and the desert. And if you guys ever want to come back and visit, you know, we'll be here. So, but no, it's truly a privilege to come before you and present God's word this morning. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 again, and I warned you, gentlemen, about a month ago, I think it was, that the end of chapter 5 was coming. And it's going to be here next week, and how fitting that it's Mother's Day next week. So you got one more week to get your act in order. But this morning we're in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 21. So if you would stand, and we'll read God's word this morning together. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolishness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not drink with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. You may be seated. This last fall, my dad, his yard is covered with weeds. Ton of weeds. And so they counted it a whole loss and they just tilled it all up. So all winter, it's just been dirt. And this spring, it's just been dirt. And try, you know, Christmas wasn't too bad, right? Because it's frozen, so, you know, they can go out there and play on the dirt. That's not bad. But once it starts to get nice, once it starts to, temperature starts to rise, the kids want to play outside, and you say, stay out of the mud. Stay out of the dirt. Stay on the concrete, right? And sure enough, they come in, and they're covered in mud, right? And then you give them a bath. You're giving them all baths, right? You come out from giving them all baths, and one's already been outside in the mud again, right? We've all been there. We've all been there. Our moms told us, stay out of the mud. Well, that's what Paul is telling us this morning. Stay out of the mud. He says, fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you. Reminds me of the saying, stay out of the mud. Don't even look at it. You ever say that to a kid? You don't want them to do something? Maybe it's get into the toys. Don't even look at them. Don't even look over there. So the temptation doesn't even come to your mind. Paul says, don't even let it be named among you. Peter, he says a little bit differently. He says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. We have a calling on our lives now. Now that we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, now that we've accepted the gift that God has given us. And the song talked about bringing joy to a broken home. That is what Christ has done. But now we have a calling on that home. There's a calling on that life. And it's to be holy. No fornication. No uncleanness. No covetousness. You know, Jesus said in Luke 12, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. 1 Timothy 6 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can take nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, we've all experienced and seen people who, whether or not they believe or whether or not they have a faith in Jesus Christ, they get led away by their lusts. Whether it's the pride of life or whether it's lust or envy, covetousness, we see the wonder, the horrible, and wonderful I mean in awe, but the horrible pains that go through a person's life when they do not live out that holiness in their life. Sin is a very destructive force, not only for the unbeliever, but also for the believer. And so we must guard our hearts and our minds, but not just in our conduct. Paul also talks about our speech. Our speech is a testimony of what is in our heart. The Lord said that what comes out of the heart, or what comes out of the mouth, it comes from the heart. And so Paul talks about here, no filthiness talking, no foolish talking, no coarse jesting. You know, a lot of times we come to church on Sunday morning, and We sing these wonderful hymns. We get excited about who God is and working in our lives. And man, it's good to be here on Sunday morning. Isn't that great? I mean, isn't it just awesome to come here to worship God together, to sing hymns, to sing praise? And it's like, man, I wish I could bottle this up and take it with me all week long, right? But then Monday morning, we get up early, too early. And it's just the same old routine again, right? And we're back with the same old people. And those people know that we are sinners. They know that we make mistakes. And they see it day in and day out. And it's hard to rise above our former selves, but when we walked in ignorance. But we have this challenge. But our speech is so important. And I want to read some of the things that the psalmist said compared to what Paul is saying here this morning. Paul says, no filthiness in our speech. And the psalmist said in Psalms 141:3, said, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Paul says, no foolish talking. And the psalmist said, my mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. Paul says, no coarse jesting. And the psalmist says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And Paul says, give thanks. And the psalmist says, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Now, is Paul here this morning saying, don't tell any jokes, don't have fun, don't goof off, just be a straight-laced, serious Christian all the time? No. There's many examples in Scripture of laughter and joy and having a great time. God wants us to have fun. He put us here on this earth to glorify Him and to enjoy Him. And so He wants us to have a good time. But the idea is our words should be uplifting to one another. We should not be joking around with people to where it causes them to wonder about whether they really like us or not. You know, a lot of times we'll say things like, oh, you're stupid. Or that was a really dumb thing to do. Well, you were not thinking there, were you? And we say things like this without even really thinking about what is that other person thinking, because we're frustrated. It's one of those half-true, half-joking type things, right? Paul says, don't do that. No coarse jesting. No foolish talk. Don't be talking about stupid stuff. No filthiness. Don't be joking about things you shouldn't be joking about. Well, I would never do it. Well, then don't talk about it. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth, and keep watch over my lips. Everything that comes out of this mouth, we want to be pleasing to God. We want other people to hear the words that come out of our mouth and say, wow, that guy really loves the Lord. That guy has an amazing testimony. Wow, I want to know what that guy knows. I want to do what that guy does. Our speech, we need to take control of. Because here's the deal, and here's what Paul says. He says, if we don't, there's consequences. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. These very things, our speech, our actions, our covetousness, which is idolatry, these are the things that God judges unbelievers for. These are the things that get them into trouble. And He says, if you want to share in the punishment, go right on doing these things. Kind of reminds me of this. Both when I was being raised And as I'm raising my children, okay, my kids love to do stuff together. They don't. They love to do stuff together, not in the sense of being together, but in the sense of they don't want to be one-upped, right? Oh, Mom, you're going to go to the store? Can I come with you? All right. Oh, no, I want to come with you, too. I want to come, too. All right. No, I want to come, too. I want to come, too, right? We all got to go to the store now, right? It's just one thing, you know, just running there for one thing. Now we're all going to the store, right? Because they don't want to miss out on anything. You know, it's the same way when I was a kid. You know, if my sister got to do something, well, then I have to do it, too. It's not fair if I don't get to do it. But there's one thing that we never, and I have yet to find my children, they never want to share in the discipline, right? Joseph, go to your room. You're in trouble. And it's never, oh, Annabelle, come up. Can I go too? I want to be in trouble too. It's never happened yet. Never happened yet. And I never did it when I was a kid. We never want to share in the consequences. My dad would say, go to your bathroom. You're getting a spanking. I never saw any of the other kids in there saying, hey, I want to get a spanking too. It never happened. And Paul is saying, hey, if you do not want to share in the consequence of this behavior, then don't join in the behavior. It's very simple. Next, he says, not only do you want to abstain from these things, but you were once darkness, and now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You know, it's amazing to me, this idea that we were once darkness and now you are light. Think of a pitch black room. Or think of being out on a road and you're driving and all of a sudden there's a car coming at you. And there's a light. There was darkness and now there's light. Think of out in the woods, and you turn on a flashlight, and instantly everything changes because there's a light. There's something that shines to show a contrast. Before, everything was darkness. You didn't know the difference. But now there's a light. And you say, hey, shine the light over here because I want to see something. Right? We were once darkness, and now we are the light. We are shining forth, and we are showing people the contrast with our lives. Light illumines a path, and certainly God's word is a path, is the light. Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's why it's so important to be in God's Word. It's so important to be studying God's Word and to reading on a daily basis. It's so that we understand what is acceptable to the Lord, what we're supposed to be doing in our lives. But also, there was a light. There is a light in this world. It's described in John chapter 1. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. And then in 1 John, he picks up the message. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, then we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So we have some different choices here that John is talking about. Well, we can say, hey, I was a sinner. I'm always going to be a sinner. That's just the way it is. I'm just imperfect, and I'll never be perfect, and I'm just going to keep on sinning. Well, then John says, you have no fellowship with the light. You are not in the light. Well, okay. Then there's some that say, hey, I was a sinner, but now I no longer sin. I'm perfect now because of Jesus Christ. Well, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, because the truth is not in us. The reality is we're sinners, and Jesus Christ's blood has shed for our sin, but we are still needing His cleansing. He died for our sins, but there is still unrighteousness in us. And so we have to confess those on a daily basis. You see, the Christian life is not one of... You know, it'd be easy if you could make a decision Sunday morning and it would stick all week, right? I'm going to do good this week. I'm going to share my faith this week. And then just because I decided that, that determines my actions the rest of the week. But it's like every single moment I have to keep deciding. I am going to share Christ this week. Lord, please give me the witness. Give me the opportunity to witness to others. Or, hey, Lord, I am going to, with my speech this week, I am going to serve You. But then Monday morning, we wake up and we start to talk to those same people and they start to say those same bad jokes. And what do? We join right in. Because the Christian life is one where we continually, we have to work on it. But praise the Lord that we have an advocate, someone who will go to bat for us, and that when we confess our sins, He is faithful and to forgive us. The other thing that Paul says is, don't fellowship with the works of darkness. Don't fellowship with the works of darkness. We've all heard the saying that goes, you can pick your nose and you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your friend's nose. No, that's not it. It was, be careful which friends you pick, right? Be careful which friends you pick, because the friends that you pick, that's going to determine who you are, right? You want to know where you're going to be in 5 years? Look at the friends that you have that are 5 years older. That's where you're going to be at. Be careful who you are. Paul says, don't fellowship with the works of darkness. In 2 Corinthians, when he's talking to the Corinthian church, he says the same thing, just a little bit differently. He says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? You know, we take that passage, rightfully so, and we say that a man and a woman should not be joined together in marriage if one's a Christian and one's not a Christian. Why? Because it doesn't make any sense. Why would somebody who's wanting to serve God join themselves to someone who doesn't even know God? It doesn't make any sense at all. They're going to be serving different purposes. They're going to be having different masters. They're going to be going in opposite directions. It's a recipe for disaster. But in the same way, a friendship, any union, follows the same rules. We should not link ourselves. We should not join ourselves with unbelievers. In verse 17, just a little bit farther in that chapter, it says, "Therefore, come out among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." The Lord, the idea of holiness is that we are to be separate. We are to be different. Everybody says Christians, they're a little bit different. Hey, that's a good thing. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be separate from the world. We're not supposed to be like everybody else. And he says, expose the darkness. Expose the darkness. You are a light in the world. Your life should expose the darkness in other people. When you come around, people should be straightening up. When you walk into a room, it should be silent. Why? Because they're scared of you? No. Because they were talking about something they shouldn't have, and they saw you, and they said, "Oh, I shouldn't be talking about that." Expose the darkness. Matthew 18:15 says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you have gained your brother." If you see somebody do something wrong, should we, "Oh, hey, it's not that big of a deal. Let's just slide it under the rug." No. If somebody sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Galatians 6:1 says, "If you see your brother in sin, you who are spiritual, restore him. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." We are supposed to help those who are caught up in sin. But we are not supposed to ignore it. 1 Timothy 5:20 says, "Those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear." We need to have a high view of holiness, a high view of what God has called us to in our Christian lives. And we need to not be afraid to shine the light at darkness and expose it. Well, now Paul switches gears a little bit. He says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." It's kind of, he says, don't do this, do this, but think. Take some time to think about your life. You're going to be here for such a short time. What do you want to accomplish? What do you want written on your tombstone? What do you want people to think about you or talk about you when you're not in the room? Or when you're dead and gone and your grandkids are remembering you? What stories do you want them to tell? About uncleanness in your life? Drinking? Coarse jesting? Is that how they want you to? Is that how you want them to remember? Think about your life and redeem the time. You don't have many days. It's kind of like I was reminded by the old cartoon, The 100-Acre Wood and Winnie the Pooh, right? He always think. That's what Paul's saying. Think. Think about what you're doing. We're not just in this life going from day to day with no purpose at all. We serve somebody. We have a purpose here. Think about it. What are you trying to accomplish? He says, walk circumspectly. Don't just walk aimlessly in your life. Have a purpose, a plan. What are you trying to accomplish? In Colossians, he says the same thing a little bit differently. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So we want to walk in such a way that people who look at us would see us. We would know how to answer them. They would look at us and say, wow, that person is, man, they got it together. I mean, they don't even walk on the ground. They just float when they walk, right? Now, we don't want to be a goody two-shoes, right? We don't want to come off as some fake person. But we want to have a high view of God's calling for our life. We want to be an example to others. That's why he says, don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Why? Somebody who's drunk with wine, think of the town drunk, right? Andy Griffith. Right? Otis Campbell. He walks in, locks himself in jail. See you next week, Andy. Right? He's got no purpose. He's going nowhere. And we know from real life, that's not a good way to live. It's no fun living with a drunk. There's no joy in that. But be filled with the Spirit. Encourage one another, speaking together with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I love singing, hearing my kids singing songs. My little Sarah, she has always got a song in her heart, and she's always singing one song or another. Annabelle, she loves to write songs. She's working on writing different songs that God puts in her mind. I love listening to my kids sing songs to the Lord. It makes my heart glad. And we need to be doing that to other people. We need to be encouraging them with our lips, with our conduct. 2 Corinthians 3:12 through 18. I'll close with this passage here. It says, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains. Paul's going back here and talking about when Moses came down off the mountain and God spoke to Moses. The people said, well, first of all, the people, Moses, God was going to appear to the people. And the people said, please do not let God appear to us. Because Moses had talked to God and his face was so bright. It radiated. And the people could see that. And they said, if we talk to God, we will die. So you go talk to God and be our advocate or talk to God for us. Get the message. And then whatever God tells you to tell us, we'll do it. Just do not let God talk to us directly because we will die. And God said, they're right. So then Moses came down off the mountain and they said, please, Moses, wear a veil over your face because it is too bright. It is just too much for us to look at. And so he did. And so he says, unlike Moses who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, which was the glory of God, but their minds were blinded. For unto this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Paul's saying that the Old Testament is explained in the New Testament. Christ reveals what the Old Testament portrays. The veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? That just as Moses looked at the glory of God and radiated to where people said, put a veil over your face. That our lives, because of the Holy Spirit's work in our life, is being changed into such a way that when people look at us, they see the glory of God. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are going to be in that same image. One day we're going to wake up, and we're going to be before God, and everything will be different, but everything will be the same. Because what God is doing in our lives right here is a good work. And He's going to perfect it in the day of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, You've challenged us this week to stay out of the mud, to shine our light on darkness, not only, Lord, in others' lives, but also in our own. Lord, I pray that we would be man enough, woman enough, to admit the faults that we have. Not walking around as somebody who's perfect, because we're not, Lord, but somebody who's willing to confess when we do wrong. Somebody who's real. Somebody who has a real Christianity. Lord, I pray that You would give us the strength to do that this week, to show, Lord, that we have a true testimony, not of perfection, but of righteousness, redemption. Lord, I pray that we would not walk aimlessly going about from day to day, Lord, but that we would take the short time that we have here and use it for Your glory, that we would think about the people around us and say, Lord, how can I help this person come to know You? How can I help this person become in greater reliance on Your love? That we would think and we would use the short time that we have for Your glory, and that we would reflect that glory to others. Lord, I thank You for Your message, for Your word. And Lord, help us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.